Morning. It's great to have everybody here. Acts chapter number 2 this morning. Acts chapter number 2. Let's see here. We do have some announcements we want to make you aware of. Outreach Saturday is this coming Saturday. Let me encourage you to be here at 10 o'clock for that. We do have a lunch after that for all those who come out. Help us with canvassing and making visits. Men's retreat, that is the 16th to the 18th. If you plan on going, we're going to have a meeting tonight inside the Old Fellowship Hall at 5:35. So from about 5:35 to 5:50, you're going to have about a 15-minute meeting. So please be there for that, gentlemen, if you plan on coming. If you didn't sign up and you have an interest in coming, let me encourage you also to be at that meeting, and we can give you some details if you're still trying to decide. We still have a few spots that are left open. Church picnic, May 26th. We're going to be having hamburgers and hot dogs following the morning service. If you're able to, we ask you to bring sides or desserts or can and bottle drinks. We'll have an afternoon service, which will be a Sing-spiration, and following that, we'll probably do some activities outside if anyone's interested. Then we have the dates in here for teen camp, junior camp, and also kids crusade, so that way you can mark your calendars. I know we gave them at the beginning of the year, but sometimes people lose those calendars, or as you're making your summer plans, hoping everybody can be involved in that as much as possible. But once again, thank you for being here today. And definitely be praying for Pastor Thompson. With having a stroke, I'm sure that's a lot for Miss Vera and for those daughters too. So as we mentioned before, most of us know that in our Sunday mornings, we're going through the furtherance of the gospel series, and then also we're looking at the Gospel of Mark. And this week we're looking at Acts chapter number 2, the furtherance of the gospel in Sunday school. Once again, we did that last week, and we talked about Judas in the morning service. This morning we're going to talk about Peter in the morning service, and so we're looking at this. What I'm interested in, it says in verse number 41, it says, Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So, I mean, that's furthering the gospel, that's for sure. Now, we started this off a few weeks ago talking about how we should share our own personal testimony, how winning won with the beginning of the book of Acts in Theopolis. But what we're going to do is go through the book of Acts and maybe other books of the Bible and see, okay, the word of God was spread here. The word of God was furthered here. What happened? What caused these things? And last week, we looked at the idea of that doing things God's way and God's time, God's place, God's power, and then also considering that they were praying and that they were waiting on the Lord. But most importantly, last week, we talked about them being in unity. And there's such a key there, being unified. That's that you see that the church, the Holy Spirit of God came when they were in one accord and they were unified. At the end of the chapter, it even says in verse number 47, it says, praising God and having favor of all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And we might look at that next week and look at what the verses 46 and some of the responsibilities of the church and 47. Once again, more were added to the church, more furtherance of the gospel was happening. So that's kind of what it's going to look like. And then we're going to go chapter number 3 when they were at it, chapter number 4. God was adding people to the church daily. The gospel was being furthered daily. And that's what we're interested in with the furtherance of the gospel, is how do we get the gospel out? How do we get it furthered out to the rest of the world? This morning's title, if you want it to have a title, is The Gospel is Furthered When Jesus is Preached About. The gospel is furthered when we preach about Jesus, or when Jesus is preached about. And that's what you see happen in Acts chapter number 2. Obviously, we see the working of the Holy Spirit. We see the Holy Spirit coming on the scene in verses 1 and 2 and 3. And we see in verse number 4, it says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. And we're not going to take time to look at that as much as the idea of the focus of what furthered the gospel. Yes, the Holy Spirit work was. We are going to sometime in the future look at the Holy Spirit a little bit more in depth. But this morning, it's going to be about the preaching. So what is preaching? Or you could say, what is gospel preaching? And what if we're talking about furthering the gospel, what is gospel preaching? And I truly believe preaching is things that point people to Jesus Christ. This is the idea. Jesus Christ is the great theme of the Bible, even in the Old Testament. And you're going to see here this morning, as we have time, that he goes back to the book of Joel. Peter does in his sermon. And as he goes back to the book of Joel, and what does Joel do? It points people to Christ. This is the first recorded sermon that we have that was given after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, I know Jesus had taught and Jesus has done different things, but we see here what was the first recorded sermon after the filling of the Holy Spirit, after the resurrection. We see here that this sermon was about Jesus. It's from start to end. He starts off in Joel. He takes things that they know and he brings it to something that they can understand. He takes into what they know to what they should know. And the people are taken back. You see here in the story a little bit that they think that they're drunk and things like that. But let's go ahead and read for a little while and just kind of tell the story. We don't... never should be embarrassed by reading it there and reading all of it. So let's start in chapter 2, verse number 1. We're not going to have time to read the whole entire chapter, but there's a lot of things that we're going to make application to. It says in chapter 2, verse number 1, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and as it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under the heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language." Mr. Barry, a number of weeks ago, preached a little bit in the Sunday school class, taught us about tongues. And I believe I agree with what he said. And the miracle there is not just the speaking in tongues, but more the hearing. They heard it in language, and this is referring to other foreign languages. It's not some type of gibberish. "And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man on our own tongue wherein we were born?" And then it begins to talk about the Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and in Cappadocia and in Pontus and Asia and Pergia and Pamphylia in Egypt and in parts of Libya, about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. So that they're hearing all this is amazing, because all these Galileans, they're speaking and they're talking, and it's just that they're able to hear in their own language. It's a miracle. "And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine." So he said, these guys are just drunk. You know, they're up there and they're acting crazy. And I tell you, when you try to live for God, you know what's going to happen? People are going to make insults to you. They're going to say things. When you try to preach Jesus Christ, when you try to teach Jesus Christ, when you get him lifted up, you know what? People are going to say, oh, he's a fool. And they're going to say, they make this accusation about being drunk. And then it says in verse 14, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words." So here, as we begin these verses, I want to pull your attention to a few different things. Verse 15, "For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day." He takes this allegation and he says, that's ridiculous. We're obviously not drunk. It's a day of Pentecost. This is the mark where they began to speak the gospel in different languages. One thing I see when I see verses 9, 10, and 11, it reminds me that God wants everyone to hear. God wants everyone to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what language it can be said in, that's his desire. Is that when you go across people, you look at people, you begin to choose, well, I think just because they only speak Spanish, they shouldn't hear the gospel. That's ridiculous. Or just because of this, that's, you know, because they look a certain way. Because no, they're all souls. And that's when I read that, I think about that. And look how he begins the preaching. And that's the idea today. We're going to look at preaching. What is preaching and preaching of Christ? But look how he starts. He says, number one, in verse 15, he said, "For these are not drunken." So he tells them this. But also look what it says at the end of verse number 14. He says, "Hearken to my words." He gets their attention. He says, hey, look, pay attention. Hearken to what I'm getting ready to say. But then what does he do in verse number 16? "But this is that." He doesn't begin to talk about his opinion. He says, hey, look, then this is what really, truly preaching is. Preaching is God's word being proclaimed. It is not the pastor's message. It's God's message. And if the pastor didn't get the message from the Lord, or is not getting the message from the Bible, he's not preaching. He might be giving an inspirational thought. And I know sometimes you get those guys on TV and they're more self-help gurus. They're more, they're positive speakers. They're not preachers. They're not preaching the word of God. If it's not the message of the word of God, then it's not truly preaching. And that's what he says here. But this is that. What is he referring to at the end of verse number 14? Hearken to my words. He's not coming across and saying, hey, I want you to pay attention. And then he turns around and doesn't give them the word of God. He even takes them back. And look what it says here. He says, but this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And here, and it shall be come to pass that in the last days, saith God. Now, these were Jews. Many of these were Jews. And it refers to here a passage they would have known about. So here we see that it's the part of revelation when it comes to the teaching. When you think about preaching, it really comes in three parts. I remember hearing this years ago, I believe it was in Bible college, or at least one of the places where I studied. Preaching is really revelation, which means God's revelation through his word. Explanation, which means there's one who's, what when people are explaining what is being read. And then application. So here he's beginning and he's saying here, here is my revelation, not his revelation. This is God's word. And this is what preaching should be. It's about God's word. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, save God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and the vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. Now, these are referring to Joel chapter number 2, verses 28 to 32. He is going directly to the word of God. He says, hey, look, I got something I want to tell you. And what he says, I want you to listen wise. I want you to listen on purpose. And what does he do? He takes them right to the word of God. He begins to give the revelation part of the message. He begins to reveal to him what God's word has said. And then you see here, there's an explanation here. And so he begins to talk to them about in verse 21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So he brings them to, ye men of Israel, hear these words. And he begins to talk about the explanation. He says, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God. And he begins to talk about this portion of scripture. He tries to help them understand it. He tries to explain to them what God is saying in this portion. He says, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. So we see here, what does he preach about? He preaches about Jesus. Even in the Old Testament, he takes from the Old Testament and he takes him right to Jesus. I've heard different preachers think Spurgeon is famous as saying, get to your passage of scripture and go right to the cross, or go directly to the cross, or go directly to Jesus. And that's the thought when we're talking about how is the gospel going to be furthered, is when there's preaching and the preaching is about Jesus Christ, is when there's people who reach out and that reaching out is about Jesus Christ. It's not about personalities. I mean, I tell you, many times churches today are built on a personality. When that personality dies, that church dies sometimes. And sometimes it's not even the pastors. Sometimes it's people inside the church that want to dictate things and say, this is my personality. It should not be. When someone talks about Faith Baptist Church, that one person comes to their mind and says, well, I know this person, or I know that person. I know there's connections. It should be about that church loves Jesus Christ. That church wants to lift up Jesus Christ. That church is a place of prayer. That's a place where people can get help. It's not about personality. It's not even, I know sometimes pastors are the personality that churches are built upon. And that's just not biblical in this idea that see what he's teaching about and preaching about. It's about Jesus. And he says, and he reminds him, once again, this is a group of people that would have just heard or seen what happened with Jesus. He's reminding them things about they know, the things that they need to know. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. And then he begins to talk about some psalms here. And this is wonderful. Once again, these are passages of scriptures that he would have known. This is the application. He is bringing them to a spot to say, I want you to apply it to yourself. He's still complaining. He's still helping them understand and the explanation of it. He says, now you heard Joel. Now look how Jesus was come and what Jesus did. And now go back to Psalms, passages of scriptures they would have known and how they were the ones that pointed to Jesus. Verse 25, for David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover also, my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. So we see a number of different psalms that are mentioned here. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch of David. Once again, he's bringing the application now. We saw the revelation about Joel and the word of God, explanation about who Jesus Christ was, backed it up with the book of Psalms. And then he says, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. So he makes application. Look, this Jesus that was crucified, he's alive. And he says, then David even talked about him. And David here, whose sepulcher is still here, he's dead and buried. But it says in verse 30, therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ. He's making the application to him here. He says, look, he's explaining it here. This is who Christ was. This is the resurrection of Christ. That is, his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my foot right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive this gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same days there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So long passages of scripture there. And I hope you got an understanding of what coming across here. He begins with a revelation. He begins talking about the word of God. And this is when we're witnessing somebody. And this is what preaching should look like. And if you listen to preaching, if you give a message, it should begin with the word of God. And then you begin to explain it. There's an explanation. And I love how he explains it to him in verse 22. He begins talking about things they know. He talks about Jesus. Then he talks about the Psalms. And then he brings back the reference there in verse 31. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ. He talks about the resurrection that many people were still denying at that point in time. And he begins to continue on to explain. But then he says in verse 36, he tries to draw to a conclusion. He tries to make application. And that's what preaching is. We're trying to get people to make a decision. We want people to take it inwardly. We want people to take what's being said and to consider what's being said. And, you know, sometimes some people say, well, that doesn't apply to me. Well, then pray for those that it might. But that's what preaching the word of God is supposed to be about. It's supposed to be taking it in, listening, understanding it, asking if it applies to my heart and applies to my life, and pulling people to a decision. And that's what happens here. It says that in verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? We're trying to get people to make a decision. And once again, you can't force people. And Pentecost was a special day. There's only one Pentecost. There's only one that's been prophesied. I know there's some churches and even some places that say, hey, let's have a whole nother day, have a whole nother Pentecost. And they will do different things to try to manipulate and try to see thousands of people saved. And I've seen it and I've heard it, but there's only one Pentecost. Now, once again, the word of God can be furthered, and we should try to further the word of God. But when it comes to furthering the word of God, one of the ways, like we learned about last week, it's in unity, like we learned about with Theopolis. It's one-on-one dealing with people. But here we see with the preaching, but it's the preaching of Jesus Christ. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, this is a reference that I enjoy to look at this. It says, so they read in the book of the law distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. So Nehemiah, so they read, it's talking about Revelation. What are they reading? They're reading the book of the law. And the book of the law distinctly and gave sense, which is explanation, and caused him to understand, which is application. When we give someone a track, or when we talk to somebody about the gospel, it's the idea that I want to talk to them about Jesus Christ. I want to apply this to them. I want to take them to the word of God, because it's not my message. It's God's message. If there's someone up here that's just giving their own message, then they're not preaching. They're maybe giving a emotional talk or something like that, or self-help or whatever, a challenge and things like that. And those are all fine and good, but it's not preaching. And when we're trying to be a witness, the word of God needs to be present. And as we give the word of God, we must learn how to explain the word of God. There's explanation. Then it comes to the spot, what are you going to do with Jesus Christ? What are you going to do with the word of God? And that's when it's saying back in Nehemiah, when Ezra got up to teach and preach after the walls were built, it says that they read the book of the law. What were they doing? He was revealing what God's word said. It made sense of it. And then he made them help them understand. People need preaching. It's by the foolishness of preaching. People need preaching. They need to hear it. They need to see it. And you think about it. And I know the focus on the Holy Spirit of the day of Pentecost, and I understand that, and I know the speaking of tongues. You had all this that was sitting there. And so what did they do? They preached. They didn't go around. They didn't perform miracles. They weren't singing. They weren't doing this. They weren't doing that. They weren't focused on collecting an offering. They weren't trying to recruit. They preached, because that was what was going to further the gospel. And as they preached, what happens? They says 3,000 were added to the church. Now, here's the next thing is, what were they preaching? They were preaching Jesus Christ. So let's go back and let's look here a few verses, and we'll look at this and see how they preached Christ. We're going to start over here in verse number 22. So it's verse 22. Not only are they preaching, once again, preaching should involve what we learned, the revelation, which is God's word. The preacher is not revealing anything. There's new open revelation. He is taking the word of God that's said, then he explains it, and then he makes application. Application is important. Sometimes I've been not criticized or been told, all you do is application. I think preaching really begins when application is there, when we're trying to draw people to make a decision. Yes, the word of God, the doctrines of God, the revelation is so key and so important. Explaining it is too. But we must get to a spot where there's application that's done. So what happens when Peter is preaching? Peter lays a foundation here. He talks about the passages in Joel, because they're wondering what's happening. They're mocking him. They're making fun of him. They're saying, these guys must be drunk. He says, no, this is that. And he's referring to what happened in the book of Joel. He says, hearken unto me, earlier in verse number 14. And then he turns around. He says, he preaches to them Jesus. Look at, first of all, when you look at this, look at the presentation of Jesus. Look what it says in 2:22. You men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth. He is being presented in a human form. He is being presented as a humble form because he was from Nazareth. He begins with where they are at. The people know this. This Jesus died on the cross. He was called Jesus of Nazareth. People said he was the king of the Jews. Others are saying he rose from the dead. He's speaking to a large audience here, and he begins to tell them about what they know. He moves them from the unknown. He moves them from what they know to the unknown. Or I like to say, he moves them from the known to the things that they need to know. This is the demonstration of Jesus. His whole life was a demonstration of God showing his divine approval. And that's what he says here. Look at Jesus. And he begins to describe Jesus. And he says, a man approved to God. He says he was approved to God by you. How was he approved by God? Well, they saw the miracles. They saw the wonders, miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. He says, you know this. You've seen this. You've heard eyewitness accounts. This Jesus of Nazareth, yes, this is his, God is showing his divine favor. He's not just some guy named Jesus from Nazareth. He was a man that had the divine favor of God from his miracles, from his wonders, from his signs. And he begins to tell them the demonstration. And then he takes him from the demonstration about Jesus. And he talks about the crucifixion. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked mans have crucified and slain. So he goes from where they knew him and they understood who Jesus was and they remembered the miracles and they brought him to the fact they crucified him. Something else they still knew. And then they begin to explain, he goes from the demonstration to crucifixion to resurrection. And it says, whom God have raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. So he begins to talk about the resurrection here. And then he gives proof of it in verses 25, 26, 27, 28. He begins talking about the proof of the resurrection. So what is he doing? He is revealing to them what God's word says. He is helping them understand who Jesus is. Then he's saying Jesus died on the cross. Jesus rose in the dead, just like David said hundreds and thousands of years ago. David said these things. Do you believe it? And he says, everybody says there's David. David's there. He's buried his sepulcher, but not Jesus. Jesus is lifted up at the right hand throne of Jesus, at the right hand throne of the Father. So he takes him back to the Psalms. But what does he do? He causes him to make a decision. And lots of times that's what we want, right? We want people to make a decision. But how does that happen? How do we further the gospel? Is we have to talk to people about Jesus. We need to lift Jesus up. If Jesus is lifted up, the Bible talks about how all men will be drawn unto him. But when we don't lift up Jesus, you know what happens? We don't further the gospel. So I'm hoping that this was a help to you, and because I know sometimes we wonder, well, how can I get the gospel forward? What can I do? These are some things that you can help people with. Help them with the word of God. Now, I know we got to begin sometimes with other conversations, one-on-one especially. You begin to talk to people. Sometimes you got to pique their interest. But you got to take that interest and make a beeline right to Jesus Christ. You reveal the word of God to them. This is what the Bible says. And the Bible says that we're all sinners. And because we're all sinners, what does that mean? It means that we need a Savior. Who was the Savior? That was Jesus Christ. And we find something that they're familiar with. You say, well, many people nowadays are atheists or they don't know anything about God. Well, that's where sometimes people start with creation today. And some people use the Ten Commandments. They go back and say, you know what the Bible says? You know, the Bible says, thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not steal. And sometimes people will walk them through the Ten Commandments and show them that they are sinners and that they are in the need of a Savior and that what are we going to stand before God for someday? So, but it begins with a revelation of the Word of God. But you can't just give a revelation of the Word of God and not explain it. I'm sure we've all sat and listened to someone give fact after fact after fact or verse after verse after verse without explanation. And you walk away and you think, boy, I'm sure there was something really good in there, but I didn't understand a word he said. And I've probably been guilty of that over the years, you know, because sometimes you want to get as much information and as much stuff in as you can because you want to give as much as the word of God you can. But you got to be able to explain it. You got to help people understand it. And when you explain it, then you bring the application, says, what are you going to do with it? But what I'm fearful for of today is that many times people come to church today, you better give the revelation, you better give the word of God. Yeah, it'd be nice if I understood it in the explanation, but they never make the application. They never apply it to their own heart and their own life. We need to preach Jesus Christ. Do we preach Jesus Christ with our lives? Do we share the word of God with others? Is Christ something that is reigns supreme in our life? If he's going to be lifted up, he's going to have to be lifted up in our own hearts. He's going to be lifted up in our own lives. He's going to have to be number one in our hearts, in our lives, if we're ever going to make a difference in this world. And here's the challenge, is we got to be right with him. And once again, what did those men sit there in those 120 for days? They sat in a prayer meeting. For days, they waited on the Lord. And then they became in a unified group. And then the Holy Spirit of God was able to come. And the Holy Spirit of God, they were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And yes, it was supernatural what they did with the tongues. It was amazing. It was wonderful. But what did they use that for? It's to point people to Jesus. So no matter what the circumstance is, point them to Jesus. That's what's truly going to further the gospel. It's not a personality. Once again, I know we have big days. We have Friend Day where we try to get people to come because they're our friends, but because we want to share them with the gospel. When they come, what are they going to do? We're going to point them to Jesus. We'll have different activities to get people to come because we want to point people to Jesus. And that there's nothing wrong with that because we're trying to begin. But if we're truly going to be preachers, and we're going to hear preaching, going to listen to preaching. And once again, I know there's not lady pastors and per se preaching is talking about proclaiming. We should all be proclaiming the word of God. And so in your life today, in your help, wanting to help people, wanting to further the gospel, it's got to begin with Jesus. You reveal what the word of God says. You explain what the word of God says. And then you make application. Are you going to let this make a difference? People don't like to be pinned down. And once again, you cannot save anyone. The only thing you can do is give the truth that's out there. But if you really, truly want to further the gospel, you're going to give a presentation in a way where people are going to have to come to the point where they make a decision. You don't see them here. They ask. Their hearts are pricked in verse number 37. It's the Holy Spirit that pricks the hearts. And then what do they say? What shall we do? And he tells them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And we know baptism is not something that's necessary for the remission of sins. We see that in other scriptures. But for this group, it was showing that they believed in a Jesus who just was crucified. It would have meant something for them to be baptized, for them to publicly stand and say, I claim to be a believer and follower of a man who was just crucified. How many days ago? 80 days ago? And they were put to death, and it says that they didn't shy away. They truly believed. It was an outward display of an inward decision that was here. Preaching Jesus. So I want to encourage you today, push Jesus. I think it's nice when there's a church out there and people love the church and they want to push your church. That's fine to tell people how much you enjoy your church. Tell them about Jesus. Jesus is what's going to change a person's life. If you like your pastor, tell them that you like your pastor, but pastor is nothing compared to Jesus. If you like the Sunday school class that you're in, or the fellowships that you have, or a men's prayer meeting, or a ladies' tea, whatever it is, there's nothing wrong with all those things. Those are ways that we fellowship together as a family of God, but it must always be about Jesus. How often do we truly lift him up? So this morning, what's going to further the gospel? As we learn in chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, personal relationships, telling people, sharing people what you already have, like Luke did with Theopolis. Then we saw last week, the unified church furthers the gospel. This week, what furthers the gospel? The preaching and teaching of Jesus Christ in our own lives. Let's look for that. And when you're looking at sermons, I'm not saying you should critique my sermons all the time, but that's something you should listen for. The word of God, explanation, and application. Revelation, explanation, application. Like I said, for years I've heard that's the way it should be done. And it's important that you understand what you're listening to, and then you apply it. If you don't understand something, ask someone you can trust. Study the word of God for yourself. God did not want this book to be something that you sit there and say, I just don't understand it, and we don't read it. Learn and grow and understand. Now, will we understand everything? No, the deep things of God, there's some things that you're going to have to study, and some things we just won't know till we get to heaven. Sometimes you got to agree to disagree about different things that are more of a preference or things that God did not clearly entail right in the scriptures. That's all okay. But at the same time, don't miss Jesus. Let's go ahead and pray.